There's a new pledge to the American people. It's called the Commitment to America. Tim Head, the executive director of a group dedicated to mobilizing faith voters to the polls. He is the head of the Faith and Freedom Coalition, and they say they applaud the House's GOP's newly announced Commitment to America. This is Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb, and Tim Head joins us now. Tim, it's great to have you on the program. Thank you.
Of course, Jerry. Thank you so much for having us. It's always good to be with you.
Sure. Okay, so back in 1994, Newt Gingrich came up with a contract with America. There were 10 commitments. Bing, 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 bing. And it seems as if the new House leadership, as far as the Republican side of things, they're trying to make a commitment to the American people. As I count it, it would be basically five things. Well, really four. A strong economy, safe, safe nation, freedom, and government accountability. So let's go ahead and unpack this.
Absolutely. So, you know, I think you also have to bear in mind maybe some quick historical context. You know, in the 90s, frankly, the Republicans had not been in in control of the U.S. House of Representatives for many, many, many years. And so in some ways that was kind of either a statement or a restatement to the American people what the Republican Party was about. And so that was maybe a little more almost adolescent in nature, kind of undeveloped in some ways, aspirational, maybe another way to say it. Whereas, of course, you know, over the last roughly 30 years, leadership of the U.S. House has kind of toggled back and forth, slightly more leadership of the Republicans than Democrats. And so I'd say that the general principles are fairly well rehearsed or are known, you know, by the American people what the Republicans stand for. But this commitment to America that was released a few days ago by the would-be Republican leadership of McCarthy and Scalise and Stefanik are kind of a response to what a lot of Americans are seeing right now in either coming out of Washington or out of the Democratic party and policy positions across the country. So it's a slightly different moment in time, but the principles I would say are the same.
All right, and let's focus on these maybe one at a time. A strong economy.
Well, I think that one in some ways speaks for itself. Unfortunately, as recently as 2019, we had an economy that was raging, through a variety of things, most notably, certainly the shutdowns, in 2020, between the shutdowns, then like the direct implications or impact of the shutdowns in 2020, plus the kind of global repercussions of that, particularly as it relates to supply chain, and then now, just inflation rates being through the roof. This is a commitment by Republican leadership to stabilize economic inputs, certainly to fully reopen the economy, both especially in America, but frankly around the world. And then also at the same time in that reopening to prioritize American workers and the American economy versus kind of this globalization, this mass globalization, which in some ways is somewhat unavoidable in modern global economics. But we still actually give a lot of preference to the Chinese. A lot of Americans just are not aware of really how American policy actually hamstrings America and prefers China in many ways. And so this commitment to America flips that script, if you will, of preferring American products and American workers over Chinese products.
Well, as far as the commitment to America, where do the borders fit?
Right, so that both has economic implications as well as security implications, and so I think that the border you could probably put under a thriving economy as well as a safe country, and so the secured borders I think the House leadership probably more considers that under kind of a safe and secure America, as well as you know, securing borders and also reinforcing and in fact actually incenting more police to sign up. Unfortunately, in the last really 12 to 15 years, we've seen recruitment and retention of police officers become a real challenge across the country, especially in urban markets as well. And so border security and safe and secure really communities across the country, but especially urban centers, is another hallmark, if you will, of this commitment to America.
Well, you know, let's talk about the safety for a second in terms of the safe streets and so forth. One of the things that's very disconcerting is you have in the example of George Soros, okay, strong left-wing, you know, gazillionaire, you know, but he spends a lot of money to buy, to help support candidates for district attorneys, you know, for different legal positions, key legal positions, though, in different states. And these are the people in these various cities who will, for example, let criminals go without bail or whatever, and then they become repeat offenders. And it's just terrible. And there's more than 70 or so different politicians throughout the country in a lot of the urban cities where they're in charge of, you know, the criminals. And here's the effect of it. Crime and no punishment. And it's terrible. And the worst hit people are the victims themselves, the urban victims. So it's like, wow, how could they be so wrong? You know, I mean, this has got to be addressed. This safe nation thing is just so critical. I mean, how can we sleep at night, you know, in a nation where you have this? I mean, some people, I'm sorry, but some people belong behind bars, and no matter what you do to try and reform them, it doesn't work. And in the meantime, all you're doing is creating new victims of this.
I think that's exactly right. And again, as you mentioned, most of those jurisdictions, those 75 to 85, especially prosecutors, sometimes sheriffs and police chiefs as well, more police chiefs than sheriffs, by the way, but occasionally you'll see these kind of reform minded prosecutors. So your listeners no doubt have heard of this notion of prosecutorial discretion, which has really coded into our law enforcement system for many, many years, because it gives prosecutors the discretion or latitude to decide, you know, with limited time, limited money, limited, slots for the docket in a court, with limited numbers of courtrooms. It gives prosecutors the ability to say, we don't have enough, you know, evidence on this case over here, and so we're going to plead it down, or we do have enough evidence over here, so we're going to take it to trial. But that has kind of been abused in a lot of these cities and jurisdictions across the country, with basically kind of preemptive policy decisions made by these elected prosecutors that you're alluding to, that have basically just said, these whole categories of crimes, I'm just not going to pay attention to. Which is not at all what it was contemplated in these code of ethics for prosecutors to allow them to discernment or discretion.
Okay, now since we've talked about the strong economy, we've talked about safe nation. Okay, these are two of the main goals of this commitment to America. I still think the borders issue, though, is just amazing, because I mean, even people on the left, so for example, Geraldo Rivera, now he's, you know, obviously he's on Fox News, so he's not totally on the left, but even he has said, look, you can't have a nation if you don't have borders. I almost wish they had made a separate, you know, commitment to this borders thing, because this is crazy. How can you have a nation when our border is wide open and you also have at the same time, you know, all these government benefits going out, which are basically extracted from we, the taxpayers, but they're coming out, you know, and so there's a natural magnet to come to the United States, get all these freebies, and there it is.
Well, of course. And you know, I think that, Ironically, you find that whenever the real magnet, if you will, is basically the American economy. And so, unfortunately, the challenge that we're experiencing right now, we're kind of on the precipice of, is a slowing down, American economy, which will start to dial back that magnet. You'll see fewer people coming, particularly for labor related purposes. Unfortunately, one of the challenges that we've also seen in recent political history, the Trump administration had worked for years to craft a new immigration policy, which I actually thought was going to be very thoughtful and practical. It actually really could have worked. We came back in January and impeachment started, and then, COVID had kind of taken over, and we never actually saw that work product. And it was basically 180 degrees for what we're seeing right now, which is essentially, our immigration policy, quote unquote, is basically we have no immigration policy. I think it's not only hazardous for our economy, but it really does jeopardize truly the safety and ultimately lives of a lot of Americans. And by the way, a lot of people who are coming across the border from other parts of the world are in tremendous danger and peril because of this, I consider, very irresponsible policy.
Freedom, and that would include freedom of speech, freedom of religion. That's a part of the commitment to America, as I understand it.
That's right. Speech and religion, and also, by the way, parental choice. And so, there's a kind of a renewed interest in educational choice or educational freedom, partly because we've seen yet again coming out of 2020 and 2021, really elaborate, in my estimation, radical efforts by the political left to socially engineer even further, socially engineer our educational system. And so, I think we saw it certainly in Virginia, in the Commonwealth of Virginia, in the gubernatorial races last year, that enough parents across the country really have just had enough. And so, thankfully, Republican leadership in the U.S. House in D.C. have recognized this appetite, this hunger by American parents, particularly a lot of moms, obviously, that are just absolutely tired. They want their kids to be well educated and not propagandized by an educational system that, unfortunately, in too many contexts, we're seeing do exactly the opposite.
Government accountability.
So this, partly revolves around, plenty of questions about elections themselves, and then also not only the integrity of elections that we saw a lot in late 2020 election cycles, but then efforts in 2021 to federalize or nationalize election processes, which I think would be devastating for not just for America, but frankly for democracy and freedom across the world. So we do not want to federalize elections. I think that would be catastrophic. And then certainly to continue to ensure credibility and trust in the American people in our electoral process. And then on top of that, things like I think there are a lot of people aware now of the 87,000 new IRS agents that were hired by that were funded by this U.S. House and U.S. Senate, democratically controlled House and Senate, which frankly I think is really borderline dystopian in a lot of ways. And so that's another piece that I think that Republican leadership is very interested in rolling that back to even less lower than previous levels that we've seen before.
Okay, we have enough time for your website.
Sure. Folks can track us at www.ffcoalition.com.
Okay, Tim Head, thank you very much. And it's my understanding from you in previous conversations, if the Christians went out and voted their values and showed up, in larger numbers than we do, we could make huge inroads in virtually all these different elections. So we need to get out and vote our values. Thank you, Tim, for all that you do. God bless.
Thank you so much, Jerry. God bless you.